I want you to go to Romans chapter 4, because this is where I've been for the past, well, let's say it this way, quite a few hours. And we're not going to go to the number, because that's not important. What is important is that God has a plan. And when Abraham was being tested in Romans 4, God said he was righteous. So the opinion of men may be that you're not righteous, but the opinion of God is his to give and to verify and to confirm. Now, the word that I believe he wants us to really see today, I want you to look at verse 21. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Now this is coming as St. Paul is trying to get a fact across. That God has the power to do what he promised you. Just like my brother shared about Joseph. The very first combination of prayers that we went before the Lord with was that God would use this like he used Joseph. And it's the same thing. It's God's Holy Spirit being in a place where you may think it's a hopeless situation. You may think it's the worst thing that ever has happened to you. But it is God's plan. Verse 22 says, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us. So what happened to Abraham? What happened to Joseph? Were written down so that we would learn. It's also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him. Who do we believe in? We believe in Christ Jesus, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Who did the raising of Jesus from the dead? It was the Father. It was the Lord God. It was he. Now, why did he do that? He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. You know, sometimes we just are thick.
Amen.
Did you get a clue?
Yeah.
Sometimes we're thick. Do I have an open door to speak a little bit of what you said this morning? Gail comes up to me and she says, you know what? I just realized God covered this problem way, way back that I had with his blood. And now I know that it's real. How many years did it go back?
55.
55 years of unbelief have kept a place of bondage for this woman. And now God has finally gotten through to her heart, not her head. We had the discussion with someone else this morning about the difference between the head trip and the spiritual heart trip. How many know there's a difference between the two? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says you're made up of spirit, soul, and body. If you think you ain't got a spirit, then you better wake up because the Holy Spirit lives there.
Amen.
And he's got a plan to give you a knowledge about who you are in Christ. And today, we're going to realize that he was raised out of the grave so that we would know we've been justified. Justified by whom? By him, not by your actions and reactions. Not by working your fingers to the bone. It ain't going to work. You can drive yourself into the ground and you can whip yourself. You can do all that stuff that the prophets of Baal have done. And you know what? Elijah's going to laugh and say, you know what? Let your fire prove who
who is the Lord? Mount Carmel was the place. And it was a day where God would expose the lying spirits and their people that serve under that anointing. So now I want you to read verse 25 in the Amplified, because it goes a little tiny bit deeper. Who was betrayed, put to death because of our misdeeds, and was raised to secure our justification. Was raised to secure our justification. Our acquittal. To make our account balance. Absolving us from all guilt before God. Now there's a young woman that was released from prison. On the news. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
12 people acquitted her from some of the things that she was accused of. Can they put her back on the trial and then can they judge her again?
No.
Why? She's been released and placed in freedom. Okay. I'm not trying to put her on trial here. But I am telling you that Jesus already paid the price for you. He has declared you not guilty. He's acquitted you. He's given you total freedom so that you can walk with your head up high and say, you know what? I'm a believer. I know that Jesus paid the price for me. Your opinion of me is your own, whoever's accusing you. And let it go. Stop the harassment that you place on yourself. Yesterday, my wife and I are having a conversation, and all of a sudden she made a comment. And I said to her, I do not agree with those words because that's not a compliment to the woman I married. And she looked at me and she says, I don't get it. I said, didn't you hear what you just said about yourself? Well, you know, it's just, I said, yeah, it's just. But you know what? I got to put up with what you just said about you. And I don't want you in my bed with that, on that curse that you've just spoken over yourself. Oh, but it really doesn't count. Oh, really? What you may consider just a fluffy word will confirm what you are and what you believe about yourself when you least expect it. How many have ever heard words come out of their mouth, tearing themselves apart, tearing their hearts down, just because other people have thought that way, which is not God's opinion of you? Huh. So when the rubber meets the road, it's God's opinion of you that really counts.
Amen.
Now, if I read this correctly, Jesus was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds or sin, and was raised to secure our justification. Was raised, was pulled out of the grave. Yeah. And he appeared to many. The book of Acts. Why? To give you a heads up about your freedom. About how awesome you have been lifted up out of the deadly places of sin. Now, does that mean that there's no sin left that's still operating periodically and that my mouth doesn't speak negative about me sometimes? Yes, it's true. Sometimes my mouth goes off into real weird spaces. And I confess that. But you know what? I've stopped condemning myself. Because I run after the blood. And I say, Lord, this here was already done, and I'm going to rejoice because you have set me free. And I'm going to walk in that freedom, Lord. I'm going to realize that I was justified by what Jesus did on the cross for me. It's not all about your good works. It's not about how many hours you spent on your knees. It is all about what he did on that cross to wipe the slate clean and balance the books. He balanced the books. You know what? When you realize that he put you within his own body and he let his flesh be torn so that you could come to life. I want you to check verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Now, that doesn't mean actions. It speaks of your belief. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. Who? By faith. Into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. There's a man that just witnessed to you that he wasn't in a happy space in the past few days because some of it was sufferings. How many of you have had joyful spaces and all of a sudden you're suffering? And you're saying, oh my God, why is this happening to me? It's for you to grow up. Yeah, to mature. Would you believe it? God will allow suffering for you to mature. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Verse 4, perseverance, character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into my heart by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given to me. Now that's Kim's version. You mean he wants Christians to mature and to grow up? Yes. And he uses suffering as a way or a means of you to awaken that he has an ability to recreate whatever has fallen apart in you. Even if it's 55 years that you've been accusing yourself. Even if it's 55 years that you believe that some wrongdoing was done. The blood of the Lamb covered it. The blood of the Lamb covered it.
Amen.
Now I want you to close your eyes right now. And I want you to just take a couple of deep breaths and say, Father, is there another place in my past where I'm blaming myself and found myself guilty? That I need to release.
Through
the blood of Jesus Christ.
And that sacrifice.
That he paid.
For me.
Take a couple of deep breaths. As soon as you see something in your mind. Or in your mind's eye. Just raise one hand to me. And don't look around. Don't see anything, look, just concentrate and go back again and repeat it again. Say, Lord, show me whatever I need to remember that I'm finding myself guilty of. Very good. The hands keep coming up. It's good. I want you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, don't look around.
Lord Jesus,
I lay this accusation
And the negative words that go with it.
And the negative words that go with it.
At the cross.
At the cross.
I let the blood.
I let the blood.
Of my Savior Jesus.
Of my Savior Jesus.
Pay.
Pay.
And balance the books.
And balance the books.
In the courts of my own heart.
In the courts of my own heart.
Because it's already done in the courts of heaven.
Because it's already done.
It's verified.
It's verified.
I've been absolved.
Of all guilt
before God. And now
I'm placing
this justification
at the resurrection
to prove to myself
that I'm rising out of the grave
into a new life with Christ,
risen now,
today,
for His glory.
No more self-accusation. No more self-condemnation.
No more self-condemnation.
I've been absolved.
I've been set free.
I've been now fully acquitted.
And I'm walking in freedom.
I forgive myself.
I agree with what Jesus did for me.
It settles the books.
They've been balanced.
And to my credit, I've been made righteous
by His blood.
I'm telling you myself,
I've been made righteous
by His blood.
I'm telling my neighbors,
I've been made righteous
by His blood.
Look at a neighbor. Say, you
have been made righteous
by His blood.
Get a clue.
I'm going to love you.
Even if you don't think you're lovable.
Because by His blood,
you and I have been acquitted.
Hallelujah.
That's
all I got. Go ahead, give Him a clap offering. Give Him a clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You are the author and the finisher. And you will complete us in your image.
Amen.
Remember, when you worship, it is like sweet fragrance. It engulfs Him, filling Him up, refreshing Him. As it is in heaven, so shall it be in this earth.